It is my pleasure to introduce you to Rick Patterson, who you got to meet briefly. He's with SAMI, and SAMI is an organization which you may not be aware of, but their existence and everything they do is really critical to your Second Amendment rights. To every time you pick up a firearm, you get a different kind of ammunition, you go hunting, you go shooting. They're really, really important, and they don't get exposure. And so I'm lucky enough to work with Rick on an international level, and he kindly agreed when we were out of town at another event that he would come. So I really appreciate him breaking into his schedule. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Julianne, and it is my pleasure to be here. And just take another minute to thank Alan and Joe and Julianne for the great Defenders of Liberty Award. I took the opportunity to open it up and look in just because I wanted to make sure I didn't get arrested going through TSA getting back home. It's really an awesome award, and to the other recipients and the great work that you've done to deserve that award, it's really quite humbling. Thank you. SAMI is pretty quiet, as Julianne mentioned, and that's kind of by design. A lot of what we do quietly, back rooms, and just get it done. Support for so much of the great work that Second Amendment Foundation Citizens Committee does. We were created in 1926 at the request of the United States federal government to create standards for safety, reliability, and interchangeability in the design, manufacture, transportation, storage, and use of firearms and ammunition. And that's part of what we do. 15 minutes to describe SAMI is pretty much a challenge. It's kind of like the three blind men describing the elephant. There's a lot that we do. I'm going to focus on just a couple of those items. Our fundamental goals really are to create the voluntary technical standards that make sure when you put a cartridge manufactured by a SAMI member company in a firearm manufactured by a SAMI member company and you press the trigger, it goes bang, not click and not boom. There's a joke in there somewhere on the gun club at Microsoft, you know. We need to be a little more out there, I guess, and feel free to introduce yourselves, and we'll make sure your guns go bang as well. Really, we're there as a technical resource, and a lot of what we do, besides setting the standards, is getting fact-based information into the hands of the people who can use it. You all, your organizations, but also government agencies, the UN, etc. We provide the information. In the case of the UN, I think we talk, they ignore, and then put out a press release how we engaged in, quote, robust dialogue. But what goes into all of those standards? It's really a very complex issue. It's more than just dimensions and pressures. You have your dimensional mechanical drawing protocols that have to be standardized. You have all of your pressure measurement equipment has to be standardized. We create standards for all of that. How you calibrate that equipment has to be standardized. How you operate that equipment has to be standardized. It goes down to the point of what we kind of refer to as the SAMI twirl, how you rotate the cartridge before putting it into the test equipment is standardized. That's the degree that we go to make sure that firearms and ammunition are safe and reliable. We own the safety issue. That's what our job is. We have a reference ammunition program, special tight tolerance ammunition that is used in a round robin. I won't get into the details. I only have 15 minutes. But it's basically a system that we have in place to make sure that all of the calibration, all of the test stations, all of the manufacturers using this equipment, these systems, are operating at exactly the same point in time and safety. So that's what we do from the standard setting. We are an ANSI, American National Standards Institute, accredited standard setting organization. That has some very specific requirements. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. I know you mentioned ISACS this morning, and that's certainly relevant and was relevant to us. We have another division, the Logistics and Regulatory Affairs, that handles all of the transportation and storage issues. This gets into everything from OSHA, NFPA, Department of Transportation. We help with the rewrite of NFPA 495, the fire codes, again, to make sure that the retail shops can operate, that it's kind of a fine line. You want to make sure that you're ensuring safety without going too far the other direction. And that's where a lot of the groups that don't like guns and ammunition, hey, you know, go all the way out here and such an absurd zero tolerance that nothing can comply. And that's their goal. You may notice on ammunition, on the side of a case, says ORM-D, other regulated materials class D. That was a DOT designation that SAMI created. And what that did was eliminate the hazmat fees on every case of ammunition. ORM-D is going away under global harmonization. And everybody's kind of adopting, you know, the UN model shipping regulations. It kind of makes sense. If you're a multinational corporation, you don't want to deal with 193 different sets of shipping regulations. You know, you want one set of regulations that you know will get your product anywhere in the world. Well, we saw this coming. What we actually did was we changed the United Nations shipping regulations to create what's called the limited quantity exemption. And that's just going to be going into place. What does that all mean? Again, you don't have to pay hazmat fees on the shipping of ammunition. What does that mean to you? It means about $300 million per year that you don't have to pay for your ammunition. In some cases, yes. One of the things we did was change the designation based on science, based on fact, for changing the classification status of reloader's powder to a 1.4C. So that makes that a lot cheaper. It doesn't qualify for the LQ. You'll still have to pay the hazmat, but you're not in a 1.3 classification, which is far more expensive. You know, we helped with the rewrite of the Canadian Explosives Regulation. The way the regulations read, you could not have ammunition on the floor of a retail shop. That's the way the ammunition's read. Now, they were based on 1911, I think, was the last time those regulations had been updated, and they were based on 1865 British regulations, which were designed for dynamite. But that's what the law said. Of course, you know, the regulators had kind of ignored it, but that only goes so long. At some point, it would have to be addressed. We helped them to rewrite that. And when you talk about the need for information, the need for facts, this was actually stopped on our first attempt by shooters because somebody had the mistaken impression that a, quote, flammable solid in a transportation regulation meant, like, my house is built out of wood. That's a flammable solid. You can't have ammunition with a flammable solid. This means no more ammunition at home. And they actually created such a political uproar that the Prime Minister withdrew it. We were able to reach out to the gun groups and get the word out and convince the Prime Minister and the ministers to go ahead and resubmit that regulation that subsequently passed. So information, facts are critically important because it can create problems if you aren't well informed and trying to make things happen. Our international function is one of the areas that has been extremely busy. There's a lot going on in the international arena, as you well know. The Arms Trade Treaty just reached its 53 countries, so it is going into effect in 90 days. That will be Christmas, which I think is either amateur hour on their part or it's just a dig. The ISACs was one of the areas, and I know Alan Youngman's here, Mark Westrom, and so many others that spent untold days going through 800 pages of these, quote, standards. Quite frankly, when the idea of that first came out, we were excited about it. ISO came in, you know, gave a presentation on what standards were. This is our world. We know standards. And what a great opportunity. Standards are designed to take political agendas and take competitive agendas out of the equation to get down to a basic, if you do this in this situation, this will be the outcome. What a great thing for gun owners, because we know how that works. And so we were, quite frankly, excited about getting into this. It unfortunately did not take long to realize that it was a sham. And it was completely deceptive. And I think one of the feedback to very detailed, we provided extraordinarily detailed input, all documented with studies and facts and figures. And typical, if they even gave a reason why they ignored us, my favorite one was, Julie at Unideer doesn't like this. And that was their justification for refuting facts. That's what we're up against. So, another one that's coming into the international arena is the lead issue with ammunition. And that is an extraordinarily difficult issue to deal with. Most people do not understand the difference between organic lead compounds, water-soluble lead compounds, such as those that used to be used in paint and gasoline, and the elemental metallic lead. Those are two different entities, and they have two different... But the anti-gun extremists know that they can count on decades of people being told lead is bad. At the same time, you may have heard of an armor-piercing bullet ban. That you can't use a monolithic copper projectile because it pierces bulletproof vests too easily. And so on the one hand, they're pushing for a ban of lead ammunition. On the other hand, for, you know, the safety of law enforcement, they're pushing for a ban on all the other alternatives out there. So it's actually a very, very good strategy on their part, and one where sticking with facts and you know, being steadfast and hitting every single point along the way with facts is going to be key. Most recently, in November in Quito, Ecuador, there is a proposal going before the Convention for the Conservation of Migratory Species to phase out all lead ammunition in 3 years. So we're working on that one as well. Why do we do all this? Very simply, it's the right thing to do. Again, threading that needle, making sure that things are safe without going too far and unnecessarily impeding the movement, transportation, use of products. And it gives us the opportunity to define what real safety is. I don't know if anybody's seen the regulatorily approved cowboy cartoon. Look it up on the internet. It's really quite humorous. You know, there's this cowboy on a horse with, you know, all kinds of nets and supports, and it's totally absurd. Well, they like cowboys. They don't necessarily like guns. Where are they going to go with that? CPSC tried to, when they had initially a regulatory authority over firearms, they tried to ban all ammunition as too hazardous. And so Congress passed a law and said, no, you guys aren't going down that path, and pulled firearms and ammunition out of the CPSC jurisdiction. They still want it. And that's why what we do, Sammy, is so critically important, to own the safety issue. When you pull the trigger, it goes bang, not click, and not boom. And that's the key. I love that sound. And so that's basically, in a very short nutshell, because the timer says I'm done here, some of what Sammy does. And the reality is that we all need to work together. You know, what's interesting is if you look into the psyche of some of these civil society groups, the anti-gun groups at the UN. I think one of those light bulb moments was an article that was done, and I know it referenced Julianne and Alan and myself, and it was kind of a, you know, these people seem well-mannered, intelligent, well-spoken, so how did they become the spawn of Satan? And they went on to go how we have this incredibly strong sense of self-reliance. And they always use this self-reliance and this confidence in self with a capital S. They don't get it. You know, it's a statist mentality. You know, it's a society. We're able to take care of ourselves. We're wanting to take care of ourselves. We scare them because we're not codependent on the systems that they want to put into place. And so that's what we're up against. And, you know, in terms of taking it back again to the safety, you know, be responsible gun owners. That's the most important thing that you can do. You know, if you reload, and I was just polishing up some brass for mule deer hunt I got coming, but you know, those maximums listed in the manuals and whatnot, follow those. Don't just, you know, run the case through and cram a bullet down on top. You know, be a responsible gun owner. That's the most important thing. But we are all in this together. One of the things that I've seen over the last many years that's very heartening. You know, at one point, if you took a look at the hunting scenario, you would have deer hunters, you know, standing right up there. Oh yeah, shooting bears over baits is wrong, you know, and we were fighting each other, and you know, the 50 caliber issues. And I think today we all realize we're all in it together. We are rugged individualists, but we're also citizens. And so working together as citizens is the key to success. And I thank Julianne, Alan, Joe, the Second Amendment Foundation, Citizens Committee, for the opportunity to be here. Thank you very much for everything that you do. Have a great rest of the conference.